Goedemorgen, het is vandaag Vaderdag. En vandaar dat ik omringd ben door de familie De Koning. En zij gaan straks een wens voor hun vader uitspreken. En ook vertellen waarom ze kijken naar Hour of Power, David. Want jij komt elke... je schrok ervan, hè?
Ja.
Je komt elke zondagmorgen, net zoals vanmorgen vroeg je bed uit. Nou, maar nu zit je hier.
Ja.
Maar je kijkt elke zondag. Nou,
ja.
Daar gaan we het straks over hebben. Amigos, oké?
Ja.
En dan in de christelijke Didolas gast Tommy Hollenstein. Een heel sportieve jongen was het. Die fietste, skate en van allerlei sporten deed. Totdat hij ongelukkig terecht kwam en zijn nek brak. En wat doet hij nu? Hij schildert. En dat was de wens van zijn therapeut. Maar dat doet hij op een hele aparte manier. Dat ga je zo meteen zien. De verf zit aan de banden van zijn rolstoel. En zijn hond helpt hem om schilderijen te maken. En ze zien er echt hartstikke goed uit. Beth Goombridge, de vrouw van de organist, zingt in de kerk. En zoals ik al zei, de familie De Koning te gast. En zij zijn onze gasten bij Hour of Power Nederland. Ik wens iedereen een hele goede uitzending toe. En alle vaders een hele fijne Vaderdag.
Join us today for the best hour on television. The Hour of Power with Robert Schuller.
Come to me, and I will answer you and show you great and unsearchable things you do not know, says the Lord of hosts. And so we are here. And God's going to open our hearts, He's going to open our minds, He's going to open our eyes, and He's going to reveal to us strength and wisdom that we never knew we had. And that's why you're here today. And so we're glad you're here. God's going to touch you and use you. In fact, right now He's going to use you to welcome those who are standing next to you and around you. Would you please take a moment right now and reach out and shake their hands and say, God loves you and so do I. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for the opportunity that we have to be here, to feel Your touch, to feel Your presence, to realize that You are here, empowering, strengthening, guiding, and leading. And so we thank You for everything You're doing in our lives right now and always and forever. Amen.
now this passage from Scripture this morning is from Psalm 27 and 28. The Lord is my light. Why? He drives the darkness of doubt and cynicism, suspicion and negative thinking out. And that really puts light in your brain instead of darkness in your personality. The Lord is my light and my salvation, which means he helps you to become the person he wants you to be. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. Oh God, how true. When life puts danger in front of you, he is your fortress because he strengthens your faith and you look beyond the crisis to tomorrow. You know the trouble is not going to last. Tough times never last, but tough people do. The day of trouble, he will set me upon a rock. I will not become emotionally unstable. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me on a level path. Don't let me get into a downhill spin, please. Lead me on a level path. I believe. Oh, this is a great verse. Preached on a little loud. I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living and in the land of the dying, where we live today. Wait! Oh, wait! Oh, wait for the Lord. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. Yes. Yes. Wait for the Lord. Oh God, be our shepherd. Oh, you're going to hear a great sermon on that this morning. And carry us forever. 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 Look what this says. Salvation. He's the stronghold. He's the shelter. So be strong. And God be our shepherd. It's all in the Bible. I didn't make it up. May God bless the reading of his word and the thoughts that will come to it from it, from our pastor this morning.
name is Tommy Hollenstein, and he is an inspiring artist who grew up as basically a typical Southern California surfer, a skateboarder, and an extreme sports enthusiast. He loves everything on wheels and anything that went fast. Well, all that changed years ago when Tommy broke his neck in a tragic accident. And that has left him paralyzed from the neck down. And Tommy's accident forced him to learn to express himself artistically without the use of his arms and legs. And his artwork is currently being displayed in the exhibit, Let There Be Light, which is located in our Welcome Center here at the Crystal Cathedral. And so would you please give a very warm Crystal Cathedral welcome to Tommy Hollenstein.
Thank you.
Tommy, God loves you, and so do we.
Thank you very much.
Tell us, what was it like before the accident?
Before my accident, I grew up in San Fernando Valley. Great parents, wonderful brothers and sisters. I got three sisters and a brother. And I spent most of my time doing a lot of sports activities, basketball, football, skateboarding, surfing, surfed most of my life. And had a great life. And just before my accident, I was going to school to become a private investigator. I had one day left of school, and I broke my neck 2 days before that school.
Wow.
Yes.
So take us back to that day. When was it? How many years ago?
It was 23 years ago, March 10th, 1985. I was just on a bike ride going to see some friends, and I was cutting through a shortcut. There was a dirt lot to build a house, a slope, another dirt lot, another slope. I went down two slopes across two lots. When I approached what should have been a third slope, it was about 5.5 feet straight down, 4 feet out, and 2 feet up. As soon as I got there, I thought, wow, I know this. I said, this is going to be a bad one. I hit my head. As soon as I hit my head, I died. And I saw myself laying there motionless. And I was going farther and farther away from my body. And I said, oh, my God, it's my time to go. I'm dead.
So you were separated from your body, and you were looking down on your body.
Exactly. I was looking down on my body, and I saw my body laying there with no motion at all. And I said, God, don't take me now. Give me another chance. And as soon as I prayed that prayer, I came right back in my body, but I knew I was paralyzed. I was laying there motionless. I couldn't feel a thing, didn't know where my legs were, and I could just barely shrug my shoulders. And as my friend approached me, I said, Dave, don't move me. I said, I broke my neck. And I said, go call the paramedics and call my parents. My mom showed up before the paramedics did, and she just kind of lost it. And so I was able to tell the paramedics what I could feel, what I couldn't. And they flew me to Northridge Hospital. It was at that point the doctors told me that they should call my brothers and sisters, come say goodbye, because I probably wouldn't make it through the night. And I literally fought for every breath I took.
They didn't know that you had already died and that God had sent you back, did they?
No, they didn't.
They didn't know. God had a different plan, did they?
God definitely had a different plan, absolutely.
So there you were laying there, and the doctors tell your brothers what they assume is going to happen.
Exactly. And they had no idea, you know. And at that time, I spent 17 days in intensive care. And there was a gentleman named Joe Hitzman. I used to play football with his kids, but I really didn't know Joe. And he would come and read me the Bible every day. And during that time when he would read me the Bible, I would go to sleep. And I told him, Joe, don't think I'm being disrespectful to God, but it's the only time I feel enough peace in this room to catch an hour's sleep. Because I was afraid with what the doctor's report, so that, you know, I was going to not make it through. And I was on a rota bed. The bed would rotate side to side. And when my left lung collapsed and I caught pneumonia and I was really fighting for every breath I took, I was kind of thinking, God, where are you? And I looked, and somebody had put that poem on the side of my bed where it said Footprints. And it talked about the toughest times where God was carrying that person. As soon as I read that poem, I knew God was carrying me and getting me through that time. And without him, it was not going to be possible.
Now, you refused to let them put a ventilator in your lungs, correct?
I did.
And why was that?
I didn't want to be breathing on a machine. You know, I just wanted to, I knew God would give me the strength, you know, especially after reading that poem. And I didn't want to start depending on machines and see things go for the worse, you know. I knew I'd make it without it.
So you exercised your way through. Tell us about your recovery period. So you were in the hospital for the intensive care for 17 days, the
right.
Hospital for a few days after that, I suppose.
6 months. I was in the hospital
six months. And then I suppose you go to rehab, right?
Yeah, in the rehab part, you're doing occupational therapy, recreational therapy, and physical therapy, about 13 therapies a day. And during the recreational therapy, they were trying to teach me how to paint by putting a paintbrush in my mouth It just wasn't fluid. I didn't like it. It was too restraining. So I really didn't do any art for like the next 13 years.
What changed all that? What got you back involved in art?
How I got it was really a God idea. It wasn't my idea. I had another service dog named Weaver. As he started to get older.
Well, wait a minute. You said another service dog because you have your other service dog right here.
I do.
Yeah. She moved a paw there. Hiley is very active, we can tell.
Yeah.
She happens to be about the sweetest dog you've ever seen.
Hiley.
Hello, Hiley.
There you go.
How are you today, huh? Oh, am I waking you and disturbing you? Yeah, stretch. Oh, I'm so sorry, Hiley. Yeah, oh, you're a sweet dog. Okay, I'll let you go back to sleep. I'm sorry for disturbing you. So you had another service dog.
I did. I got my first service dog 2 years after my accident. As he started to get older, I knew when he passed away, I wanted to see something on my walls aside from just a picture of he and I. So God gave me the idea to roll through paint, have the dog walk through paint, so I'd see tire tracks and paw prints alongside each other. So that would be the memory I would see, so I'd just think about our time together. It was at that point that God really inspired me and said, no, I could use the chair, because I paint with the tires in my wheelchair. That's how I do my paintings today. I put paint on the tires and roll through.
So this
the
is
paint.
Your paintbrush.
This is my brush.
I'm looking at it right there.
You are looking at it, absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah.
There's your real paintbrush. We just showed a video of that. Did you? In fact, what kind? That's his real paintbrush. You don't use this one, or do you? This
I
is
do,
the same
yeah.
one.
This is the same
that's
one.
That's the same one.
Yes.
Now, do we have any examples of his art? I want to show people his art. If we have some, would you throw that on the Jumbotron?
A lot of them are just real abstract. It's called Salvation, and it was a red cross representing the blood of Christ and two crosses alongside. It's a black background with two black crosses on the side, which you really don't see, but you see the red cross. A lot of them are just about joy. I mean, it's my freedom. It's my way of using the chair to feel the freedom. The time I feel most free while I'm in the chair is when I'm moving across that canvas and chasing after what was a dream as a childhood to be an artist. You know, I knew God called me to be an artist, and he was going to find and make a way. You know, it took quite a few years, but it was, you know, through the use of the dog or through that he brought that out of me, you know. And it's just, I've been blessed and very fortunate to be doing shows and to have a show here at the Christ Cathedral and in the Richard Meyer building. It's a miracle. When I found out I was in the Richard Meyer building, the same architect that did the Getty Center, you know, it was just really, really inspiring to me.
Well, thank you, Tommy. Well, we're just honored to be able to display your art here. We really are. You have a heart for disabled children now, don't you?
I do.
What are you doing with them?
Just recently, I had a show at the Boston Children's Hospital back in Boston, and part of the show was I would come out for 2 days and paint with some children that were in wheelchairs. You know, I'm used to meeting kids and teaching kids a new way of life out here that have an injury, but here these were kids that were terminally ill. And there was one boy in particular that had just gone through brain surgery. And he hadn't spoken 2.5 weeks. And I kept asking him which color you wanted to paint with, which board. And he kept pointing. Finally, he said red. And the therapist just broke out because I didn't know he hadn't spoke. I painted with that little boy for 2.5 hours. At 5 o'clock that night, his mother brought him back down, pushed him down in his wheelchair, and she was just sobbing. And I said, what's up? She said, Francisco got up and walked today. So wow. God used that art to help this child. You know, I've been blessed with a gift of painting, and it's the biggest way I can honor and glorify God is to use that gift, and that's what I hope to continue to do.
Tell us about your faith in Jesus Christ and what that means to you in relation to your art.
Well, my faith in Jesus Christ is the most important thing. The more time I spend in the Word, the more time I spend in services, the more time I spend in praise and worship, the more God speaks to me and reveals things to me about my childhood and how growing up, how he was inspiring me to be an artist, and I missed it sometimes. But the more time I spend with God, the easier it is for me to hear his voice and to listen to his guidance and try to stay on that road, try to stay on the right path.
And so that's what you're doing these days, is you're staying on the right path, and and you're using your wheelchair to create art and to share the good news of Jesus Christ with the world.
Yes.
And so, Tommy, we want to thank you for your
your
just commitment to Jesus Christ, for your positive attitude and your willingness to make a difference with your art and with your wheelchair, and for helping others discover the same thing.
It was an honor to be here. Thank you so much.
Thank you. God loves you, Tommy. So do we.
God loves you.
He is there.
Dat was een prachtige bijdrage van Beth Groombridge. En wat wil je? Ze kan prachtig zingen, maar ze wordt ook begeleid door haar eigen man, de organist van de Crystal Cathedral, Sean Groombridge. En die speelt altijd achter het grootste orgel ter wereld. Het is vandaag Vaderdag, ik heb het al gezegd. En dat betekent dat de vaders vandaag in het zonnetje staan. En ik heb hier, het zijn bijna buurkinderen van me, trouwe kijkers van Hour of Power. Dat is Rens en Lisa en David en Erik. En Erik, jij bent de ondeugendste, hè? Of is dat
altijd
David? Ja, hè?
Altijd.
Ja, vrienden, jullie hebben een mooi shirt aan. Ja. Vertel daar eens wat van, liefde nodig. Heb je het gezien op de stations?
Ja.
Ja?
Ja.
Mooi, goede actie?
Ja.
Van Hour of Power. Ja, kun je alleen maar ja zeggen of kun je nog wat meer zeggen? Oké, ja, goed. Fijn dat je... Hey, jij is wel leuk, hè? Hey, Lisa, ik ga even bij jou beginnen. Want bij jou, je bent als pleegdochter opgenomen in het gezin De Koning. Leuke broertjes en zusjes? Leuke broertjes vooral?
Ja, wel broertjes natuurlijk. Ja. Dat is wel heel gezellig.
Ja. Nou, deze familie, want Erik was hier 5 jaar geleden. Dat heeft hij ook verteld. Toen had hij nog niet eens de baard in zijn keel. Dat hij keek naar Hour of Power. Dat is hij altijd blijven doen, het hele gezin. Wat vond je ervan dat er elke zondagmorgen Hour of Power wordt en is gekeken?
Ja, dat was voor mij eigenlijk wel heel erg wennen. Ik was dat gewoon helemaal niet gewend. Maar ik was zelf voor mezelf best wel bezig met geloof en zo. En ik had al aardig wat gesprekken gehad. Dus dat ik eigenlijk voor mezelf wel zoiets van, ja, dat wil ik wel eens een keer zien. En ja, toen ben ik een keer gaan kijken en daarna ben ik iedere keer gaan kijken.
En, wat vind je dan?
Ik vind het wel, het is heel anders dan wat je gewend bent van de kerk hier in Nederland natuurlijk. Dus ik vind het wel heel gaaf om te zien.
Ja. En heeft het je geholpen om, want je bent nog heel jong, hoe jong ben je?
Ik ben nu 16.
Ja, om ook, je gelooft nou echt in God?
Ja.
Ja. Dat is toch mooi?
Ja.
Ja. Bijzonder. Ja. Daarmee heb je ook dat mooie kruis, denk ik, omhouden.
Ja,
hè?
En die heb ik met mijn tante gekocht een maand nadat ik in het pleeggezin kwam.
Ja, hoe komt het dat je in het pleeggezin zit, mag ik dat vragen?
Ik had een thuissituatie die niet heel erg geweldig was voor mij om te leven. Dus toen heb ik op een gegeven moment zelf gezegd van dat gaat niet en dan ben ik weggegaan. En toen ben ik gewoon via jeugdzorg hier terecht gekomen.
Leuk. En is het een lief pleegzusje?
Jawel.
Of heb je wel eens ruzie met haar?
Nou ja, meer dat ze druk is.
Ja?
En jij bent niet druk?
Nee.
Nou, juist, zo zou ik gek van je worden, weet je dat?
Ja. Maar dan word je sowieso wel. Dus
Oké.
Je maakt even nodig.
Ja. David, jij bent de jongste.
Ja.
Jij kijkt ook altijd naar Hour of Power.
Ja.
Wat vind je ervan?
Nou,
wanneer ga jij kijken?
Nou, ik kom meestal 9:15 uit mijn bed. En dan heb ik nog een heel klein stukje van de vorige uitzending. En dan begint de nieuwe weer. En ja, dan komt dat weer de Bijbel lezen. En dat preken. En, ik kijk eigenlijk gewoon.
Goed zeg. Hey, jij zit je broertje uit te lachen?
Nee.
Nee, hè? Vertel eens, jij kijkt ook.
Ja, ik kijk ook wel.
Ja. 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 Vind je het leuk? Wat spreekt jou aan?
Wat spreekt me aan is hoe ze het vertellen. Dat is toch wel heel anders. En we zijn wel heel veel kerken af geweest na een goede kerk te zoeken. En nu zijn we wel een goede gevonden.
En dat is deze kerk?
Ja, dat is denk ik wel deze kerk. Ja. Ja.
Rens, wat wil jij worden?
Nou, ik wil 2 hele verschillende kanten op. Ik twijfel nog een beetje. Ik wil of theaterkant op.
Zo.
Of ik wil marinier worden.
Net als je broer?
Ja. Maar hij wil naar de vloot toe en ik wil naar echt het leger toe, zeg maar.
Ja, ja. Want jouw droom is, daar praat je al jaren over, hè, dat is...
Officier worden bij de Koninklijke Marine.
Ja, en daar doe je heel erg je best voor.
Ja.
Ik vind jou ook wel een type voor, weet je wel. Salueer eens. Kijk. Nee, dat is hem, hè. Dat is hem. Jij hebt ook zonder probleem admiraal, denk ik.
Laten we het hopen.
Ja, het is vandaag Vaderdag. En David, wat is de wens, jouw wens voor je vader?
Nou, Robert? Hij is een trots vader en dat hij dat echt blijft.
Ja. En jouw wens?
Mijn vader wens is toch wel dat hij een best wel drukke man is. En dat hij dan ook wel zo'n rust krijgt. En dat hij ook wel tijd voor zichzelf heeft.
En voor jullie?
Ja. Nou, dat heeft hij ook wel. Hoor.
Mooi zo. Erik, je bent de oudste Doerak, zoon bedoel ik, van de familie. Wat is jouw wens voor je vader?
Mijn wens voor mijn vader is dat hij de rust krijgt die hij nodig heeft. En toch betrokken genoeg bij het gezin blijft om gewoon gelukkig te zijn en goed te kunnen functioneren.
Nou, dat is een hele mooie wens. Knap gedaan. Hey Lisa, ik vind het heel erg goed dat jij zo in dat in een pleeggezin naar binnen rolt en daar gewoon aardt en het naar je zin hebt en blij bent en wat je vertelt, erg onder de indruk.
Ik heb het ook erg getroffen om in dit gezin terecht te komen.
Ja?
Ja.
Ja, je wilt nog een tijdje blijven?
Ja, dat is wel de bedoeling, ja.
Ja, en jullie vinden dat goed? Beraad. Ja. Het zijn plaaggeesten, hè?
Ja,
ze gedragen zich hier zo netjes. Iedereen denkt dat ze ongelooflijk braaf en keurig netjes zijn.
Nou.
Hé, hey, David?
Ja.
Ja. Wat is jouw wens voor, noem je hem, oom Robert?
Nee, gewoon Rob. Ja. Dus, ja, ook wel, zoals die jongens al gezegd hebben, hij is druk, hij heeft heel veel tijd voor zijn werk nodig. Maar ik hoop ook wel dat hij gewoon echt de tijd heeft voor zichzelf, dat hij aan zichzelf dingen kan doen wat hij leuk vindt. En dat hij ook gewoon bij het gezin kan blijven.
Nou.
Want hij is en blijft vader.
Ja, precies. En hij is ook jouw vader een beetje, hè?
Ja.
Hartstikke goed. Hey, heb je nog een wens voor de kijkers van Hour of Power? Je hebt altijd zo'n mooie uitsmijter, Erik.
Ja, goede zondag.
Ja? Nou, oké. Okay. En wat jij, David?
Nou, dat is ook van God leren, de uitzending.
Zo, dat vind ik een goeie van je.
Ja, dat iedereen toch die kijkt met God kan blijven wandelen en gelukkig kan zijn in zijn leven.
Denk om de vaders, want dan hebben we ook liefde nodig.
Zo, hey. Nou, hey jongens, ik vond het super tof dat jullie hier waren. Kom vooral af en toe me lastig vallen, hè?
Ja.
Ja, oké. Okay. En ja, het is leuk. Wie zou er niet zulke buurkinderen willen hebben? Wij gaan een vraag aan u stellen. De vraag namelijk om donateur te worden van Hour of Power. Nou, als je dit hoort, hè, maakt echt indruk op me. Ik ken ze natuurlijk goed. Maar ze kijken elke zondag en ze kijken van harte. Ook kinderen, ook jongeren. En het is geweldig belangrijk, echt geweldig belangrijk, dat een programma ook door jongeren en door kinderen kan worden gezien. En je ziet wat ze ervan oppikken. En we vragen u, als u ouder bent en u wilt het worden, om donateur te worden. Om te zorgen dat Hour of Power elke zondag 2 uur kan blijven uitzenden. En we weten ook dat u dat doet. Zometeen verschijnt in beeld wat u kunt doen. En nogmaals, met deze oproep zou ik zeggen, word donateur. En daarna gaan we terug naar de Christelijke Dierom.
Voor vele duizenden kijkers is Hour of Power een wekelijks moment van rust, inspiratie en bemoediging. Voelt u zich thuis bij Hour of Power? Vindt u het belangrijk dat Hour of Power Gods liefde verkondigt? En wilt u dat Hour of Power iedere week op televisie te zien blijft? Zou u dan ook donateur willen worden? Wij verwelkomen u graag in onze kring. Al met een klein bedrag per maand levert u een structurele bijdrage aan onze missie. Hour of Power is volledig afhankelijk van donateurs, dus uw steun is hard nodig. Als welkomstgeschenk sturen wij u dit boek, Ontdek Gods richting voor uw leven. Dit is het nieuwste boek van dominee Robert Anthony Schuller. Hierin beschrijft hij hoe wij onze persoonlijke roeping kunnen vinden en verwezenlijken. Donateur worden kan via www.hourofpower.nl of vraag informatie aan via 035 538 0588. Alvast hartelijk dank.
Today I'm going to be preaching from the book of Isaiah, which is a fabulous book in the Bible. One of the things about Isaiah is that the book of Isaiah is actually divided into two sections. You have the section of judgment, you have the section of comfort. There happens to be 66 chapters in the book of Isaiah. Now, here's an interesting thought. The Bible has 66 books in it. The Bible has two sections. You have the Old Testament and the New Testament. Some people refer to it as the book of judgment and the book of comfort. Isaiah has 66 chapters in it. You have 39 chapters in the book of judgment and 27 chapters in the book of comfort. In the Old Testament, you have 39 chapters in the Old Testament and 27 chapters in the New Testament. The book of Isaiah mirrors the whole Bible. It's a reflection of what it is. So contained within these fabulous words, we come to this point where we read Isaiah 41:10, which are the words I want to share with you today. And here's what it says. So, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Powerful words for us today. So today we take the next step of discovering that he does not want us to fear, nor to be dismayed. It's kind of a challenging thing to do in our society and in our world today. How about health issues? Is there anyone here who struggles and challenges and has fears with their health today? About our healthcare system? Do you have fears and anxiety about your family, your children, your parents, your brothers, sisters, cousins? You know, our fears and our dismay goes on and on and on. But the reason we fall into this trap of fear and dismay is because we have the wrong paradigm and the wrong glasses and the wrong understanding of who we are. Not until we come to the realization that we are children of God, that we are spiritual beings on our human journey as opposed to human beings with spiritual experiences. Until we realize we're spiritual beings, we're going to continue in this cycle of fear and dismay, because as human beings, we have a lot to fear. But as spiritual beings, we have absolutely nothing to fear. The Bible's very clear. God is very clear. Here he says specifically, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you. And it's that clear. God says he will strengthen us. Later in the New Testament, it says in 4:13, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And we can look at examples like Tommy. Here is a man who embraces his handicap and today is creating amazing, world-renowned art. Henry Fawcett's another man who embraced his fears. In 1858, at the age of 25, he was hunting with his father, and his father accidentally shot him in the face. A shotgun. He survived, but he lost his eyes in the process. Now, it took him a while to recuperate and to recover. And in the process of recovering and dealing with the loss of his eyesight, he witnessed the grief his father felt. Could you imagine accidentally shooting one of your own children and blinding one of your own children, hurting one of your own children? That's the last thing a parent ever wants to do, is hurt their own child. And his father did this. And his anguish, he wished he was dead. He just wanted to go home and be with the Lord. And Henry saw the anguish of his father, and trying to comfort his father, what he did is he decided to start thinking positive thoughts and sharing positive thoughts with his father. So he'd go in and say, "Hey, Dad, it's not that bad. You know, it's just eyesight. I can finish my schooling by having somebody read to me, and I can compose my essays by dictation. Somebody can write it down for me. I can get through this. It's just eyes. I'm still here. My face is still here. My body is still alive. It's just my eyes." And in the process of trying to uplift his father, he uplifted himself by speaking positive thoughts to himself. He started thinking positive thoughts. By trying to encourage his father, he started realizing that he didn't have a handicap. He just had to find a different way to deal with it. And 5 years later, he became the professor of political economy at Cambridge. Another 2 years later, he was elected to Parliament. By 1880, he became the Postmaster General of the United Kingdom. The only handicap we have is the handicap that we have between our two ears. It is the thoughts that get into our mind, the negative thoughts that come and tear us down and says, "You can't do that, you're blind. You can't do that, you're a cripple. You can't do that because you're not good enough." And these fears continue to weigh us down and hold us back from being the people God has called us to be. And the scripture is very true. "Do not fear, do not be dismayed. I will strengthen you," says the Lord of hosts, the King of kings. "I will help you," he says. In Romans 8:28, we read that all things work together for good to those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. And when I read these words that God's going to help us, I don't think that God is going to come and actually move the mountains for us. He's not going to come and give us our eyesight back. He's not going to necessarily come and help us to walk again. What he is going to do is help us conquer the negative thoughts which hold us back. He's going to give us wisdom. He's going to give us knowledge. He's going to give us new paradigms with which to see the world, to act and to move, and to change the things because of the different ideas that come into our minds in which to handle the problems that we face today. And that's the way God helps us 99.9% of the time. Once in a while, God does decide that he's going to do something dramatic and do a miracle, and you see people walk on water. It happens. They're miracles. And that's why they're miracles. But what God gives to every single one of us constantly, what he promises to do, is to help us. And if it means that we need to do a miracle, then so be it. But most of us are not suffering from a lack of anything more than a lack of positive ideas. Case in point, how many people here think we have a problem with our health care system? Anyone here? You know, I studied health for 5 years, seriously studied health. I had a radio show where I interviewed wellness professionals and leading-edge doctors, PhDs and researchers and MDs and you name it. I did that 5 days a week for 5 years for an hour a day, live radio show. I would interview the person for about a half hour, then I'd open up the phone lines, and if I didn't ask them the right question, somebody would ask the question for me. It was an amazing education. And what I learned through that whole thing is that our paradigm of health and wellness in America seriously has to change. And I wrote a book. I wrote it in 2000. It came out. On possibility of living, add years to your life and life to years with God's health plan. And I shared things in there which were way ahead of their time. And today I keep, every time I hear a news article, they come out with something that I shared 8 years ago. I mean, it was just way ahead of its time. And the fact is that we're not going to solve our health care system by simply dumping more money into it. It's not going to happen. We already spend more money than any country in the world on our health care. And we're listed as number 37 in industrialized nations, according to the World Health Organization. So dumping money into our health care system isn't going to fix it. What is going to fix it, what is going to help us, is for us to get a paradigm shift within us to understand health and wellness, take responsibility for ourselves, and make a difference. Personally. God will help you. It's a promise. He'll give you ideas and thoughts and paradigms that you never knew before. So, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, and I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. I will uphold you. John 15 says, whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. Whatever you ask. And the fact is that God wants to uphold you. You know, whenever I hear that word uphold with his right hand, I think of the old song. He's got the whole world in his hands, and that means you, and that means me. And he'll uphold us. He'll keep us from falling. He'll never let us fail. And he'll be there for us. Does it in mysterious ways. There was a nurse who led the servicemen to the bedside of a dying man. And as he came in, the nurse woke up this man and she said, your son is here. She tried to shake him a little bit. It took her a while to wake him up because he was so sedated. And he finally woke up and he says, oh, my son is here. And he held his hand, and this Marine sat there and held this man's hand for hour after hour. And the nurse would come along and say, you know, you probably need a little break. I can sit in there for you, but he wouldn't do it. He would not leave this man's side. And by daybreak, the man's body had shut down, and he had passed away. And the nurse came in to share her condolences with this young Marine, and she said, I'm so sorry your father passed away. And the Marine said, no, it's not my father. I have no idea who that man is. Who is he? Why did you bring me in here? I had come here to get a tour of the hospital. God used him to hold the hand of this man while he died because he needed his son next to his side, and he died thinking his son was there, and this Marine, knowing that, would not leave his side for anything. And God touched the Marine, and God touched the dying man. And God does those kinds of things. He comes in and he moves and he shapes and he touches our lives in such a way where by giving we receive. And by receiving, God gives. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my right hand, my righteous right hand. And that word righteous is a wonderful word for all of us. And the reason it's so wonderful for all of us is the fact that God, in spite of the fact that of our sins, in spite of the fact that we don't deserve it, God is there being righteous, forgiving, and loving. That in spite of all of our shortcomings and all of our failures, it doesn't matter for us because we cannot earn this promise and we cannot earn this tremendous gift from God. It is his righteousness, his love for us, that overshadows everything we can do to separate us from his love. So, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, and I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And so, O God, we hold on to your promises. We embrace your truth. We live with the assurance, the understanding that you are there for us, strengthening us, helping us, upholding us. And so we have nothing to fear because you are our God. We love you, Lord. Amen. And now may the blessings of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit touch your hearts and your minds with his confidence and his assurance that he will be there with you always, giving you strength, giving you help, and upholding you through the toughest times forever. Amen.
Ik werd geraakt door de tekst uit Jesaja 41 die dominee Schuller citeerde. Vrees niet, wel wees niet bang, want ik ben met je. En dat zegt God tegen ons, ook tegen mij. Want we hebben allemaal tijden waarin we bang zijn, het niet meer zien zitten of het moeilijk hebben. En dan toch die prachtige tekst. Lees hem na. Het is vandaag Vaderdag en we hebben dat uitbundig gevierd hier in Hour of Power. Ik was wel ontroerd door wat die kinderen aan hun vader wensen. Het was prachtig, dus vergeet vader niet. Wij nemen afscheid en zeggen graag tot volgende week bij Hour of Power.